Hey, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. I want to talk about freedom today. You know, I was thinking about what's been going on in Ukraine, where people are sacrificing their lives. Families have been dispersed because they're fighting for freedom. They want freedom. Freedom is something that we know in this country, and sometimes when we take it for granted. But today, as we think about freedom, not only for our country, I'm thinking, what about freedom spiritually? What about freedom in our relationships, or freedom with our finances, with everything going on today, with the high rates of inflation that are occurring and the impact of money on families? How can we experience more freedom in our lives? So very practically, the question is, what is one thing or a challenge that you have in your own life or an experience that you've had to move toward freedom? Or maybe one thing we could pray with you about that you'd like to experience freedom in your life. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line is open for you live today to our comment line, which is 888-888-1717. But we're not receiving calls for on the air because this is a best of Intentional Living program from our archives, and we have all the callers already set for the program today. But we're going to talk about the power of freedom. And while we pray for our friends in Ukraine, by the way, we should. It's a reminder of how fragile can be our freedom as a nation. And it can also be fragile in our own lives. We can allow Satan and other things to rob us of the freedom that he has for us. So the power of freedom, how has it impacted your life? Call our comment line, 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. My name's Felicia, and I live here in Tucson, Arizona. About 2 years ago, I spent maybe 3 or 4 days volunteering for your radio show, Answering Phones, and it was such a tough time in my life and in my marriage, and I felt like everything around me was falling apart, and I was struggling to hold on to anything I possibly could. And when I look back now, after being in recovery and actually just graduating my first 12-step in Celebrate Recovery at Victory Worship Center here in Tucson, I realized that I began to hoard things. And in the last 3 years, things have changed. Things have turned around completely in my life. I went from growing up in a hoarding atmosphere and always coveting things to having a compulsive shopping issue, to being a complete control freak in my marriage, to really being able to have peace. And I believe that I finally reached that point with Christ.
Did you hear that? I mean, this is a woman who's, by the way, thank you for that story, chose to start hoarding things, hanging on to things, controlling things. There's so many things that we do in life, and that just sort of become collective. They become sort of a sum of all of the things that we can hang on to in life that really steal our freedom or peace in our lives. And I was thinking about the short accounts, for instance, with people. The Bible says don't go to bed with wrath, you know, in your relationships. If you've done that, you know the peace is gone. Thinking about the financial debt, how many of us have just clung on to some debt, hanging on to things we can't afford, car payments we can't afford, or maybe being in over your head with a house payment that you can't afford, or borrowing money on things that depreciate so quickly, and you realize if we could liquidate some of these assets and turn those assets into paying down some of this debt, getting the pressure off your back, putting a plan together, there's freedom. There's freedom that comes, and peace that comes when we take care of that and honor God with our finances. And then I think about the schedule, this margin thing. There's a book that was written a while ago called Margins, and it basically tells us that the stresses in our lives are often of our own doing. We take every corner of a page and we fill it right to the sides. We don't leave any room in our lives. And so one of the practical things I really recommend for us when we talk about freedom, let's not over-spiritualize this. God wants us to experience freedom, but we have to, first of all, be filled up before we can give out. We have to do the inside work before we can do the outside work in our lives. And so often we're so busy doing the outside work, focusing on our goals and our ambitions and our busyness and our schedules, we don't do the inside work. I have a whole message about being before doing. And I think if we can get the inside work done, that helps us when we have to do the outside work. I did a message on Nehemiah, and I talked about that Nehemiah spent about 4 months doing inside work, spiritual work, really thinking and praying and looking at the needs and praying before God and putting a plan together before he ever acted on rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And if we don't do the inside work, it's hard to get the outside work out. And I think that the freedom that we experience is an inside job. Freedom is an inside intentional decision in our life. And I guess I'd ask, what have you experienced? Noah's on the line. Welcome to the program. Noah, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm also glad I got through.
Thank you.
First, huh?
Thank you. What's your call? Yes. Question.
Well, it's interesting. We're talking about freedom and inside freedom and getting the inside work done first, you know, before we can consider or start any outside work. And I guess, you know, my situation is that I have all the freedom to do what I want, come and go as I wish. You know, I'm trying to live the right life, intentional life, but I'm a procrastinator. I have a huge problem with procrastination, and it tends to affect me in the sense that I put too much pressure on myself, unnecessary pressure.
Well, what do you procrastinate about mostly?
Well, God, just about, you know, from the most small things to, for example, I have to renew a contract, let's say, for my apartment where I live, and I'll put it off until the very last day.
Mm-hmm.
Yet in between, I have oodles of time to do it. But, you know, I guess I take comfort in knowing that I know it has to be done by this date, and I push it, and I push it to the limit. And I don't like that part about me. I'm trying to work on changing that.
Well, there's a lot of seventh graders listening who've done the same thing with their assignments. I can remember. How busy do we get? You know, the busiest time in most workplaces is the day before vacation. The day before a person goes on vacation, we get really intentional about getting things done, getting organized, getting the letters out, resolving problems, so because we know we're going to be gone. And I think this is true in life. I think there's a pervasive problem in the lives of many of us to put things off. Now, psychologically, we can talk about, you know, fear of failure. If I don't complete the task, then no one can analyze me or appraise me or critique what I've done or not done. And so there's reasons that can occur. But I think as a Christian, it gets back to the priorities of our life. I think so often it's how we misuse all the advantages we have in our culture. Let's face it, we don't have to spend sunrise to sunset planting the fields and harvesting the crop and, you know, taking care of the cows and getting through the day and just surviving. We live in a time where technology makes a lot of extra time available. And when we look at the amount of time that's spent with entertainment, with television, with other things, God has really given us in this 21st century a wonderful opportunity to be good stewards of the time that he's given us. And I think it comes back from an intentional living standpoint to knowing our purpose, living our purpose, so we can finish strong. And so from procrastination standpoint, having accountability, having clear goals, holding yourself accountable that you're not going to do the things that you want to do until you do the things that you have to do. I mean, those are some basic things that you can do to be intentional. Freedom from our schedule, freedom in our relationships. But I think it's important to understand that freedom begins first and foremost in our relationship with Christ, that we have a relationship with him that allows us then to experience freedom in these other areas. What about you? What's one area that you've experienced freedom in your life and it's made a difference for you? 888-888-1717.
My name is Shannon. I live in Lowell, Michigan, and I've become intentional in so many different aspects of my life, and I'm seeing so many changes that God has instilled in me. I'm being intentional with joining a group at church, and I'm seeing good things come from that, new friendships made. I'm being intentional on holding my children accountable and not yelling or screaming at them, and I'm seeing them respond in a way that I've never seen them respond before. I'm being intentional in my marriage by trying to respect my husband and to be kind and gentle towards him. And I'm seeing my marriage flourish. And we're going on 12 years of marriage. And at one time, we were going to become divorced. And it's just totally changed my life. I don't have a specific time I listen to Randy Carlson, but I do have podcasts that I download, and I put them on my iPod, and I listen while I'm folding the laundry. So I just need to say thank you to Dr. Randy and all of the volunteers that have helped me make my life intentional.
Good for you. Good for you. You know, one of the things that occurs when we don't, you know, and we're not experiencing freedom, I think anxiety is one of the things that we wrestle with. And it takes me to a passage that I often quote, and in fact, it represents one of the key verses of my life, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8, where Paul says, "Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And finally, brothers, whatever is true, here's my life verse, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. It's an inside job. It begins with how we think. It's interesting what Paul, he gives us here four specific things that you can do daily that there's a promise of peace from. Did you hear him when I read that passage? First of all, to pray daily. A life of prayer, a life that puts us outside of the reality of our current existence, beyond this little bubble of reality for us, into that deeper area of our relationship with the triune, eternal God through prayer, is a powerful thing. It takes us beyond the scope of the limitations of our own existence. Paul says, pray daily, and he says to ask humbly. Ask humbly. God wants us to ask like a father, to ask, what's the need? What is your need? What are you facing? What are you wrestling with? Then he says to give thanksgiving, turning the attention to all of the thankfulness in our lives, all of the greatness of our... We should have thanksgiving every day in our life without the turkey and the and the pie, right? Giving thanksgiving every day, and then telling yourself the truth. Philippians 4:8, whatever is true and right and admirable, praiseworthy, think on such things. Pray daily, ask humbly, give thanksgiving daily, and tell yourself the truth. Powerful. Mona's on the line in Michigan with a comment on this. Hi, Mona.
How are you?
Good. Good. What have you learned about freedom?
I'm learning a lot about freedom. I've been saved probably since 1980, and it's been difficult because it's like kicking against the goat. It's like, no, I don't want to let go of that. No, you can't go there either. Mm-hmm. That's right. No, we're holding on to that. And as I've matured and come across different books and the whole, and just allowing God to work in my heart, the first place I started was Sit, Walk, Stand by Watch My Knee.
Right.
And understanding who I am in Christ first. I am seated with Him, and that's not a position of doing.
That's right.
And then our church is going through a freedom manual, which is so appropriate for your conversation today. And looking back at my life and the anger in my life, when I got saved, I knew I wanted peace. And I got that because I never had it. But the freedom from generational strongholds, anger in my parents, anger in my father, anger, just walking around angry and not knowing you're angry, and never having your words being soft and gentle, because there's always that edge of anger.
Yes.
And that's where God has me now, is dealing with the anger and repenting of it, forgiving my family, the generations behind. That was just normal. You just were angry. You didn't talk about things. You argued about things. And a new peace that's coming, a new level of peace that's coming in my spirit, and then I'm able, to bring out, but it's a lot of work, but the work is not mine. My work is submitting.
And as you submit,
it's His work.
There's where the freedom comes from. There's where the freedom comes from, Mona. I think what
people want to, they think they have to do it themselves. It's like, I've got to do this Christian thing. And it's like, no, you really don't. He does it. He doesn't always do it in a nice way, because I can nail one hand to the cross, but I can't nail the other one. Somebody else has to do that for me.
That's a good reminder. Yeah.
And people, you know, if iron sharpens iron. And if I know that everything goes to me through His hands, good or bad, I have to relax and rest in the fact that he knows what he's doing, and it's for my good. God causes all things to work together for good.
Very good. Good reminder. Thank you, Mona. Freedom, freedom, maybe in forgiveness. I have that underlined. One of the points I wanted to bring out is that forgiveness or something that happens when you forgive. There's a freedom that occurs in your life. It's a choice that you make. It's an intentional decision. Freedom. That's what we're talking about today. Where have you experienced it? 888-1717. You know, when we get together on the cruise, we're going to have people coming from different places in the country, different places in their marriage, mm-hmm. different places in their family. And the intention is to have a good time. I mean, we're going to be in Alaska. We're going to be seeing some of the most beautiful sights in all the world. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, really sharing. What is it your heart is when you stand in front of a group like you will on the cruise? What is it that you want to communicate?
You know, I think more than anything, just that God, I've experienced the love of God myself, and I want to introduce them to the fact that God loves them so unconditionally and so completely, and that can change everything else about our entire experience in this life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's Big Daddy Weave, Mike Weaver. He'll be leading us in worship and be sharing. You're going to hear the rest of his story of his own life and family, the tragedies and the triumphs and the good days and the bad days and what he's been through and his own insecurities. It's quite a story. Mike Weaver will be leading us in worship. You hear him, Big Daddy Weave, on the air. He'll be bringing his music. And his wife, Candace, and children will be with him as well. I get a chance to share with you on intentional living. My wife, Donna, will be with me. And then Evan Carlson, our ministry president, and his wife, Kelly, will be along. So we're going to have great fellowship and be eating together and sharing together. But as I've said, mostly just you and your family and those that you bring, maybe you and your spouse, enjoying this cruise, enjoying the weather, enjoying the fresh air and the beautiful sights and sounds and smells of going to Alaska. So if you don't have your cabin, again, it's June 12th through 19, get your cabin reserved today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And so I called the lesson for this month, How an Intentional Life Can Save Your Life. And then I crossed it off and I thought about that. I said, that's a rather hyperbolic statement in life, isn't it? How intentional life can save your life. But I think as we talk a little bit, I think you'll see that statement is pretty accurate. It's true that when we choose to be intentional in our walk with Christ, tied to the true purpose of our life and God's intention for our life, it can change our life. It's undoubtedly true. It's biblical and it's life transformational. We have a choice, either a good intentioned life without follow through or an unintentional life scattered with lots of busyness, weariness, or just every day choosing to be intentional in how we think and what we do, not to perfection, but to God's glory and certainly to our own benefit. That lesson is on its way to our members, our community of intentional living. Simply those who support the ministry. We think you get it and you want to get this message of what God can do in lives of people out around the world. And so we thank you for your support. Many of you who recently just joined us in the last week or so, welcome. You'll be receiving the teaching as well. And for anyone today who will come and join us in monthly support of intentional living, $1 a day, as God directs you in support, we're going to send to you not only the teaching, Intentional Living Can Save Your Life, but also the entire Bible. It's the Intentional Word Chronological Bible, the New Living Translation of the Bible. And what's unique is this Bible is in chronological order. So the verses will really share what happened in chronological order in history. You'll find it to be a very encouraging thing for your life. So, again, thank you for praying about it, and then thank you for acting to join us in support today. Simply go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome back here to Intentional Living Center. Today, focusing on some of the keys to experiencing real freedom in your life. We are so freedom-bound in our country. We focus on freedom, and we talk about being free. And the reality is, in this country, when you look at the individuals in this country, a lot of us are in a lot of bondage, anything but freedom. We're not talking about political here. We're talking about that personal sense of freedom in your life. There are people on the planet who maybe live in areas where they don't experience liberty and freedom. They don't have an opportunity to pick the leaders of their country or express disagreement with things. And yet inside, they have more freedom than many of us do in a place where we can, because it's an inside job. And we're talking about the inside aspect of freedom, the intentional decision that we make to live our lives in a way that really honors Christ and experiences freedom. And you've heard one. Forgiveness was one. She referenced also the power of reading the right books, finding freedom in the stories, hearing the stories of others who've experienced it. Of course, the practicality of keeping short accounts with others, not hanging on to things too long, adding margins to your schedule, and so on. What about you? Let's find out. Orland's on the line in Michigan today with a comment. Hi, Orland.
How you doing?
Good. Doing great. Thank you for your call. What's your comment on this?
My comment on this is that, this could turn into a half-hour story, but
We only have 2 minutes, so.
A couple of years ago, I had sat down and had some coffee with my pastor, and first question he asked me, where's my faith level today? And I told him real quick that it wasn't where it's supposed to be, but my attitude was pretty good. Well, it took me a couple months or so after that, and it haunted me. And not that it haunted me, but I just kept thinking about it. And so I started changing some things as far as my giving, my attitude. And probably the attitude was the biggest thing. And then after that, it was like 6 months or so after that, it was like the Holy Spirit shared with me about sowing. And I started doing that. I've been heavy in debt. I'm still heavy in debt, but God's been there every single time that something has arisen. And I claim victory from not losing my house, a whole nine yards to that conversation.
Hmm. What do you think the main thing was, the practical thing? Was it how you changed your view of things?
Changed my view, my attitude on dealing with people that need help instead of always me, me, me.
Hmm.
Give a little more, especially around holidays, Christmas and so forth. You know, if that person in line needs some gas money, help them out or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, the freedom the freedom you experience is pretty clear and certainly very biblical. Think not only of your own interest, but also the interest of others, the scripture says. Turning our eyes from the inside and all the things that we're experiencing, like you said, me, 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 about me, and focusing on the needs of others. There's freedom that occurs when we see other people and we help other people who around us, frankly, are in worse shape than we are. And there's something that occurs in our lives when we look around and realize that there is freedom that occurs when we give in terms of sharing with others. You call it sowing, which is a biblical concept. Sowing, you know, sowing in the lives of others, being generous, sharing with others, investing in the lives of others, caring about others, and it does come back. There's a freedom that it's not all about ourselves, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Orland, we ran out of time, but I know your story continues, and it says here that you're still in the process, so we're praying for you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right. Did good.
Hello, my name is Ava. I wanted to speak specifically to forgiveness and what happens when there's been infidelity and forgiveness in your family. I was married 26 years. My husband was unfaithful to me, but I was faithful to him. And after 10 years of divorce and separation, our family scattered all over the United States. He is married to a woman he met on the internet who had been married 5 times before. In the interim of all of this, he has temporary custody of 2 of our grandchildren, and they live in San Diego. About a year ago, the children were really upset, and I called, and he said, well, what do you think I can do? And I said, well, I don't know. Have you apologized to them, and have you asked them to forgive you? And he said, yes, years ago. And I said, and here's the meat of the message. I said, you never apologized to me. And I could feel his countenance change from 2,500 miles away. He said, Ava, I am so sorry for hurting you. I was a coward. There were things going on with me, and I should have told you, but I thought it would just be better for everyone if I just left. And the significant thing is, when he said that to me, all the ugly just fell to the ground. He started sobbing. I started sobbing. And we just reconciled. If someone has hurt you, forgive them. Forgive them right now. Don't stop another minute. Because if you forgive them, healing comes to you. It's the most amazing gift. It truly is. I wish you all the best.
Wow, what a powerful story. You know, it's a powerful story of forgiveness. But when we think of this topic today of freedom, forgiveness, as we've talked already today, is a big part of that. Maybe you've been hanging on to unforgiveness in your life. Maybe there's someone that you need to release, some experience in the past you need to release. That's totally different than accountability. I understand that. But you know, sometimes we can hang on to things that do us more damage than it ever will those who maybe have hurt us in the past. So real freedom comes from the power of forgiveness. As the scripture says, we are to forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us. A powerful reminder. Hey, I want to thank you for joining me today on Intentional Living. Thank you for your comments you've shared on our comment line, for those who shared on the program today. And especially, I want to say thanks to our Intentional Living community of supporters. You make it possible for us to do what you just heard, and I want to thank you for it. If you'd like to become a part of the Intentional Living community, just join us at theintentionallife.com. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.